All right, welcome back to another episode of George in the Jungle, presented by Remington Tavern. Remington Tavern can be found at 8892 Glendale Milford Road, 45140, where they have their daily happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m., $5 Woodford Wednesdays. On Instagram, they can be found at RemyTavCincy, that's Cincy with a Y, or you can follow them on Facebook. And with that, George Vogel.
Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a week since we last spoke. And
I don't have anyone to argue with tonight.
he's lurking in the background, I promise you.
Yeah. I don't know. It must have been the tequila or something. I don't know. I switched back to this tonight instead of tequila. I'm not sure. Tequila must do some strange things to me.
There's no refs to argue about tonight, but since we last spoke, there was an opening day for your Cincinnati Reds. The Reds now have played, four games in total. They are currently in the midst of their fifth, not looking great right now.
It's looking pretty bleak right now for tonight's game. I wish it had gotten rained out.
You're down 8-1. We're going to blame the mishaps on Ellie on the rain. I have zero issue doing that. But getting off to a decent start. You had opening day, of course, against the Nationals, where you were able to get a big win, 8-2, behind some monster home runs of Nick Martini. Then you dropped a close one against the Nationals before getting a close one back on some big home runs in that one towards the end of the
Sunday,
game.
Saturday back. And Sunday were both crazy games. I mean, Saturday, you got your heart ripped out, had a game stolen from you, if not giving it away. And we can get a little more into that. And then Sunday, it was the complete opposite. The Reds stole the game back. So 3-1 is where they should have been going into tonight. That sounds right, feels right. With the McLean surgery and that news breaking after my bold 88 win prediction, I dialed it back to 85 on opening day. If they had won tonight, though, I was going back to 88. I'll sit on 85 right now. Can you do that after the season starts? I did say 85 on opening day. I had to readjust after it looked like McLean might be out a little while now, which is such a shame. But thankfully, they've got some depth, and thankfully, they kept Jonathan India around. At least,
man,
looks. If I know people are down on his range and those defensive metrics and all that, but God, the guy's somewhat of a player, and he just battles all the time, and you know, was a big part in what happened Sunday. But starting absolutely with opening day couldn't have gone better. I mean, you know, the
weather
was great. The weather was great. The crowd was great. Frankie Montas was great. Six shutout innings. Brent Suter was great to close the game. There he is. Chad, how you doing?
George Vogel was in a Cubs hat.
I was. You're right. I was incognito. I've never worn a Cubs hat in my life. And I was playing a little prank on Charlie. Charlie was down there doing his thing, and he knew I was going to be around. He knew I was going
to
be around.
What happened to the hat and the sign?
The sign got destroyed. In fact, some dude, what do they call that move in wrestling? A stink face? That some
where you put somebody's face between your ass cheeks and shake it.
Some guy did that to the sign down there, and it was on the air, like on camera. A fan picked up that torn up sign. Me and this kid tore it up. It said "Go Cubs" on it with a Cubs logo, and some fan right in front of the camera picks it up and wipes his rear end with it. It was. I'm glad I wasn't the one running that show. I'm glad it was Charlie's baby. But, yeah, that was a fun day. That parade, the parade's crazy. It's a lot of fun. It is just like a Reds – actually, not even Reds, just a Cincinnati love fest. And there were a lot of people again. It draws a huge crowd. And it's funny because a lot of the players and Suter said he'd never really been a part of that whole opening day thing. And those players who play for the Reds never get a chance to go to that thing. Sometimes they'll have a couple starting pitchers who aren't going to play that day riding the parade. But most guys don't even know about this stuff until they're retired. And then they come back and they're grand marshal or something or riding on one of the floats. And then they realize, oh, my God, all this was going on when we were down at the stadium. It's a real eye opener for a lot of people from out of town.
Yeah.
Have been a part of it.
You, I don't know if you noticed me looking off screen.
Yeah.
You cost me like 3 bites of my favorite snack in the world.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Is it the new Grippos? Are those out yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Cervati's pretzel chips.
Yep.
And beer cheese.
Yep. Hard to
eat. I can eat this. I won't, but I can eat this whole bag sitting here listening to you, Aaron.
Yeah. No, that stuff's good. That stuff's good.
So I opened it. I had two or three.
My wife said she said I was an a-hole when we were yelling. I go, well, he was yelling at me, but that doesn't matter. You, Mr. Almighty, get a free pass. I'm the a-hole. That was so funny. I told Aaron, I think it was the tequila in me.
Hey, here's the thing. I'm not yelling. That's just the way I talk. I like to argue. It's a podcast. Sometimes we argue.
I agree.
I totally agree. I don't take it personal. I don't get my feelings hurt.
You saw what happened tonight, or did you, with Indiana State?
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, 1-10.
Really good. They're really good.
That was a hell of a game. The more I thought about it, the more that was a tremendous game.
That's what upset me is we were talking. We had to talk about officials because they sucked.
It's
not
true.
The end result of two teams playing a great game, which is what happened.
I just felt like in the last 2 minutes, a chance was still there, and it was. And they just,
I know.
And you know, and then you look at the game this weekend, and now NC State had the lead when they had the mishap. I don't know if you saw any of that business at the end of that game with Duke, but my God, with about 4 or 5 minutes ago, just a horrible call, and Kevin Keats got a technical, but NC State still had the lead. But man, Duke got away with murder a couple times there. That Phillip puts his shoulder right into a defender and buffaloes him. They did twice. They didn't call it, and once he throws the ball up after he makes contact and it hits a shot clock out of bounds. And they ruled it out on NC State. That's when Keats got that technical. Yeah. Crazy.
Again.
Oh, no. If that costs him this game. Oh.
Official makes bad call. Then turns around and gives the coach technical for being upset about said bad call.
Right. About someone. About their own screw up. But, right. You know, NC State was able to hold it off. They were the better team. I don't know what's gotten into them. I watched them in the ACC tournament. I had them going out early in the NCAA tournament because I thought there was no way that they could go on that kind of run that they're on right now, given the season they had and the way they ended the regular season. And my God, somehow, some way, it's all coming together at once for them. And they have to
eat some
doubt about it.
I'm going to eat some Cervati's pretzel slices and beer cheese. And I want you guys.
He's gone tonight.
Well, the problem was. The minute that I turned my camera on and started talking to you, Kelsey took that as her cue to come in here and stand next to me and eat the pretzel chips and beer cheese because I'm on air, and she knew that the door was open.
Good for her. She should enjoy some of that too. Just don't eat it all because I don't want you to have to call the doctor in 2 days.
No. You know, the funny part was I got it a couple days ago, and I hadn't had a chance to tear into it yet.
Oh,
I was standing in the kitchen, and she was in the living room, and I was like, hey, you know what sounds delicious? She was like, what? I was like, some Cervati's pretzels and beer cheese. And she looked at me, and she shook her head. She's like, that does sound good. I was pulling the pretzels out of the bag,
You beat her to the punch there.
I did.
Now she's getting even.
All right. Have a good show, boys.
Thanks, Chad. Good to see you, brother. Chad. He just made All me right. hungry.
In any case, we were talking about opening day. You'd gotten to Sutter closing it out.
Yeah, that was cool. That was very cool for a hometown kid. Nick Martini had an incredible game.
Yes.
It was right at happy hour. He comes through twice. And, you know, what's he done? He's got like seven RBI in four games now or whatever he's played, three or four games. 10 at-bats, I think I saw. You know, you're happy for a guy like that who was out of the major leagues and playing in Korea. And at his age, comes back and come on. If everybody was healthy, was he going to make the roster?
No, I think he's like 31 years old, 32 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, even on the flip side of the coin, a guy who didn't make this team who actually plays for the Nationals, you saw Nick Senzel, who ended up being a scratch just before the game starts as he breaks his thumb just fielding ground balls right before the game starts.
It's not funny. I feel bad for Nick because he's always hurt, but one of the on-air guys, and I won't go into too much detail on names, but they're doing the pregame, and they were told by a producer in their ear, hey, Senzel just got scratched. And the dude thought he didn't repeat it. He thought they were just joking with him because Senzel was always hurt. So they're like, oh, they're just messing with him. So they go to break, and then he finds out, no, he really was scratched on opening day with his new team. It's like, some things never get old. They just keep doing what they do.
Nick sends IO.
Yes, thank you. That works perfect now. Couldn't do that with DL, but now that it's IO, you can.
In the same game, you also saw Jesse Winker do something that we are all too often accustomed to seeing here in Cincinnati, which is Jesse Winker running the bases terribly as he got gunned out trying to turn a single into a double. Because he thought he had wheels, and he never had wheels.
Never did he have wheels. That was the one tool you knew he didn't have when he got up to the Reds. So, that all went smashing. And then Saturday, my God, it looked like they'd never played the game. They had a couple pop-ups. Well, they didn't get charged errors, but maybe they should have been. The one – you know, it was Ellie and Stuart Fairchild, I think, converged, and I guess Ellie had called for it and couldn't grab it. And if I remember right, that day was very, very windy, and they didn't say on the broadcast that the wind was affecting the ball that much, but I think it did because there was another one in the infield that got away from maybe it was Espinal. And then Fairchild later in the game with Abrams on third, and he comes charging in on a fly ball, catches it, and then just kind of lobs it to second base. I mean, I think that ball, you know, I think he should have been come up firing at home and just seen what happens. If I remember right, it was a go-ahead run, but or a tying run. But, yeah, that one got away with Diaz. He just got, you know, it looked like the Reds were going to win that. They were up, what, 6-4 or something going to the ninth? They were up a couple, I think. And then Diaz just got roasted. And you're like, my God, this is what he looks like when his arm gets tired during the season. You know, there's been a couple of seasons now where they've had to kind of back off of him during the season for a week or so and let him get his arm strength back. And you're like, not at the beginning of the season. What is this? But he bounced back and had a really good outing last night to nail down that win, or a fairly good outing. He had that sweet strikeout on that slider. And it may have been Harper who had the big game tonight that got called, rung up on that called strike. But so Saturday, they gave that one away, and Diaz looked bad. But then Sunday, you know, it looked like they were going down. They grabbed victory out of the jaws there. And Jonathan India, who I talked about
11
earlier.
Pitches. That, 11 that pitches. Bat,
he had two outs, nobody on, and they're down, what, two runs? And – battled five straight. I think he got the 3-1, and he had five straight foul balls, and then hits that double down in the left field corner, and then Benson homers to tie it up, and then
down, no down one down. They were down one run, not two runs. They had the Benson home run tied it, and then the
But Benson was a two run homer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Benson did tie it. So, Benson gets the homer. And I'm like, now's a good time to go get a beer because I'm probably going to see extra innings. So I get up, and by the time I come back, Encarnacion Strand's rounding third base or set first base. I'm like, is this a replay of something from earlier in his career? And then I see the dugout empty and fan. I'm like, this kind of looks like it's live. I missed the damn home run the first time. I had to see the replay because I went out to hit the cooler.
Life comes at you, George.
It does. And you know what? I said this, I don't know, a couple shows ago, but kudos to baseball for getting those rules right and speeding the game up.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to leave for, you know, a little bit and come back because you're going to miss something because it happens so quickly now.
Before we move off this game, some questions I have for you as we're discussing essentially the Washington Nationals series as a whole. But at what point are we going to see Spencer Steer not batting in the 7, 8, or 9 spot? What are we doing with him?
I don't know.
All the way down there. And we'll get to the magic he had last night.
Right. But I would think soon because he's been so darn good and consistent since the day he pulled on a Reds uniform. Mm-hmm. From the time they brought him up after they made that trade, he has been nothing but a ball player. And, you know, you look at him and there's nothing electric. You know, it's not like Ellie and you see stuff and you're like, wow, that's right. Electric. But he does everything at a high level. It's not electric, but it's damn good. And he does everything well. He can play anywhere. Obviously can hit no matter where he is in the lineup because he's been in a few spots there. He's a hell of a player, and he may turn out to be the best of the bunch just because he's so darn reliable and consistent. You know,
we'll find out.
Power, he is just a sneaky good player, and he's really good. And you're right. They're going to have to think about moving him up and putting him in a position where he's got more opportunities to drive in runs because – I mean, he's got to be right up there with – I know we're only talking 4 games or 5 games, but he's got to be leading the team in RBI or close.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like I spent most of the season last year wondering the same thing about Will Benson. When were they going to ever finally move him up in the order? Because all that guy does is hit the ball, and they finally did.
Again, I mean, you talk about the guys that stand out early in the season, and those are the top two on my list.
I agree. I
mean, Will Benson made a play on the ball – Harper would have had a fourth hit tonight if he didn't make that diving play in the outfield, robbed him of at least a double catching that ball. And he's, you know, been getting it done at the plate too. I mean, he hits the ball hard. I mean, he gets doubles and wasn't known for home runs for a while there. It took him a while to get his first major league homer. If I remember, it was a walk-off last year, but he's hitting with power, authority.
You remember that walk-off? It's the one that they always show where he turns and looks at the dugout, starts yelling at him, rah, 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 rah.
It's the promo. You're right.
That's good.
That's probably why I remembered that, because I think they have the Sadak call on there.
Saying
that his first major league homer is a walk-off.
Now, something that made me laugh a little bit as we talk about the back-to-back home runs that won the third game, the rubber match. we're 3 games into the season. And they're talking about Christian Encarnacion Strand was already in a slump.
Oh, I know.
What are we doing, George?
I know. He was, what, 0 for 12 or something?
It's not a slump. Three games is not a slump.
That's not a slump is when you've gone, you know, 17 games and you're batting under 100 or something.
That's
and this happens every year with guys and baseball's such a long season with so many games. And, you know, it's just too early. I mean, it looks bad when you see 0 for 12 to start the season, but it's really not. Guys go through that. You know, if you go through that in June over a three plus game skid, no one's really going to notice it. But at the beginning of the season, they notice it. Everything's kind of magnified now, just like it gets in the playoffs. But I don't worry about that guy either, because again, that's another dude that can just flat out hit. And you know, those guys have to be ready. Guys like, and probably even I would say Steer and Benson as well. They're going to get pitched differently, and you know, guys are going to try some things with them, and the same with CES, and they've got to make those adjustments back. But I have full confidence he'll do it, because the guy is loaded with hitting talent. And you know, Candelario's another one people were complaining about over the weekend, and it's like, my God, we're not even three games into this thing, and people are like, I've seen enough of this guy. Why they spend $15 million a year on him? And again, maybe he won't live up to that contract. I don't know. But I will say this. I'm damn glad they went out and got him, given what happened with Marte at third base. And they have a veteran who has been there and done it at a pretty high level, and should continue to do it. There's no reason to think he won't continue to produce the way he has. So, you know, That looks like a hell of a pickup by the Reds in the offseason. But, yeah, all this stuff's just magnified early.
Just hilarious to me to see people talking about slump talk. And I feel like I saw either an article or maybe it was just a tweet of people talking about is Alexis Diaz, did he overpitch last year? Is that why is he washed? The drop-off to because the drop-off to relief pitchers is so quick.
Yeah, it does happen.
When it does happen, and people were just concerned.
But he's still young enough, and he should be fine.
I agree. In any case, it looks like the game is over. The Reds were able to get it a little closer. 9-4 is your final. But last night, you saw a little bit of magic in extras as the Reds end up winning 6-3, largely behind the bat of Spencer Steer.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game, a fun game to watch, and him cranking that grand slam and finally showing a little bit of emotion out on the field, because he's a guy that just stays right here.
Even too, yeah.
The first base, he kind of let, and he should have. That was a big hit. That was a fun game to watch, and yeah, as I said, he's one of my top two out of the first few games that we've seen here. And I expect it. Now, is he going to keep hitting at this pace? No. Either that or he changes his name to Ted Williams. But he's going to be a good player for them. I mean, I've seen enough that I think Spencer Steer will be a damn good everyday player for the Cincinnati Reds. And given the other guys around, they're in a pretty good spot. I feel good about my predictions here. Are you worried about Ellie yet? Is it too soon to talk about him and all these strikeouts?
I'm not. The guy is he old enough to buy a beer yet?
I don't know. I guess he is, but.
So I guess that's where the fact that we're even having that conversation, I think they said he was 4 years old when Joey Votto, the last time the Reds played without Joey Votto, I think I saw that on the broadcast. 22. Thanks,
Chad. That's hilarious. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I do wish he made more contact, because and I tell you what, laying down that bunt the other day and beating it out rather easily, that facet of his game could be very valuable as he goes along in this season. And it was a nice bunt he laid down too.
Sure.
Have a chance.
But at 22 years old, a guy who didn't even play a full season last year, if I remember correctly, I think he got called up.
Right.
Not until April, May.
It was May or June, right?
Okay, so it was definitely in time for him to get the Father's Day armbands that he continued to wear throughout the rest of the season. So he definitely was around.
He's
for
got
that.
So much talent. Yeah, I'm not too worried about him. That's a guy, by the way, as I said earlier, electric. I mean, he just, and when he gets in the groove, and he can beat you so many different ways.
Right.
I mean, with his speed, with his power, he's so fun to watch. I mean, you know, and Spencer Steer is a guy that I would probably buy a ticket to see if he continues to play the way he has since the Reds. I mean, But Ellie is a guy, you know, your kid's bugging you to go see. Like, sure. they're tugging at you saying, let's go to the game. I want to see this dude. I want to go get his autograph. I just, you know, I hope to get a foul ball from him, whatever. But he's got that kind of energy and just electricity in his game that he's a phenom is what he is.
I don't think you're that far off from having the same conversation about guys like Matt McClain, which I think he kind of put himself in that conversation last season. And then I think this season you're going to see a lot of that with Christian Encarnacion Strand because he's so big. If he's able to just continue to put the bat on the ball, the guy's going to – he's going to hit a lot of home runs, especially in Great American Ballpark.
And we alluded to this maybe last week or the week before, but just those moves that brought, you know – obviously McClain through the draft, Ellie, they signed, kind of got a little lucky that he exploded like he did after they signed.
Sure.
But bringing in Steer and CES in those trades was huge. It was, I mean, those are players that are going to play for the Reds for a long time. I believe, or at least play until, you know, you got to get to that second contract and see what happens, but they're going to help. They're going to help this team. This team, you know, in the past, they had to do some patchwork, and it was a few veterans they brought in, whether it was, you know, some former Cardinals that they used to rely on, guys like that, like Ludwig and Schumacher. They were patching holes. They haven't seen, you know, when they have everybody healthy, they're not patching holes. They've got good, legitimate, young major league players that are on the upswing. And that's why I'm so excited about this team. And despite the result tonight, Bryce Harper, you know, came in with no hits on the season. I wonder if he was in a slump. And then breaks out with three including a grand slam. And damn near had a double to go along with it. So he had 12 total bases, almost had 14 in the game. And, God, I don't know how many RBI, at least six.
We have seen one full rotation of the starting five so far. Of course, you're missing Nick Lodolo, who's down in Louisville making waves down there, but he should be. He's a big leaguer as he continues to try and bounce back from his injury. But who's impressed you right now out of your starting rotation, and who has thrown up some red flags for you?
Okay, let's go through it. So we had Frankie opening day, who was really terrific.
Lights out. Yeah.
Yep. Hunter Green was okay Saturday. You know, he's got to be a little – he hasn't been pitch efficient ever.
Four and a third.
He needs to be a little more pitch efficient, but he had some stuff working.
He also didn't have a great defense backing him up.
No, he didn't, and it was
funny. I think it's fair to say that.
It was very fair. In fact, he said it after the game when he said, well, I don't want to throw the team under the bus, but some stuff happened behind me. And he's right. It did. That he was in there when those two pop-ups fell in.
Yeah.
And so that extends innings. Those should have been outs. And he should have been able to go deeper into that game if they would have made those plays. But his stuff looked good. And, you know, the pitches he's working in, along with that fastball, look good. You know, he seems to be comfortable with it. So that impressed me. And then who do we have Sunday?
Martinez.
It was last night.
Nick Martinez, five innings, three earned runs.
Yeah, I'm still bullish on him. I think he'll be good. I hope it gets to the point when Lodolo's here that he can be one of their bullpen guys. I just think if you've got the other five cooking, I mean, he can be a valuable guy, a spot starter. You know, he can come in and give you a lot of innings.
Long relief.
Yes, he can do that. And not be just a mop-up guy, but be a guy where you know, you're like, this game's not out of hand yet, but this pitcher ain't got it. We need help. And he can come in and do that. So I think he would be very valuable in that role, and I hope it gets to that. So, he didn't have his best outing on Sunday, but he wasn't terrible. But it wasn't – I'm sure he wasn't thinking it was his best. Andrew Abbott gave up the two early runs last night, I think in the second inning. I can't remember. But he settled down and looked pretty good. He had the first couple innings, he threw a lot of pitches. One of them, I think he threw like 29 or 30 or something, but we saw enough of him last year. I think we know what he is. And it's so funny to me. It's like he's probably not quite as tall as Tom Browning, but my God, just mound mannerisms. I know they're both lefties, but I saw Browning come up and him as a young pitcher and working quickly and just being just kind of nothing's too big for him. You know, Browning is a guy that was plucked out of Wyoming. Like, he wasn't used to all this stuff, but it didn't bother him. It did not bother him. It didn't bother him at all. And that's how Andrew Abbott strikes me, as that way. And when you hear him talk about his background, I guess he was a really good swimmer. And I think at one point he got kind of burned out on swimming. And his mom, who's a school teacher, was like, well, you're going to do something. You're not just laying around. You're going to do something. Mom made the right call. And here he is in the major leagues. And I think he's going to be, I mean, he had such a good run in his rookie season.
He did.
And probably ran out of gas, and then they had to shut him down in September because of the innings count. They don't, you know, there's all that research into that. And I agree with it. I get it. These are valuable commodities, but he's going to keep building himself up. And he just reminds me of a Browning clone. There's just a lot of things about him. He's probably a little, we all love Tom. Love him. He's probably a little more refined. He went to Virginia, you know. Tom was out there watching rodeos in Wyoming, and so it's a different dynamic. But on the field and the way they approach things, it looks a lot the same to me. And then tonight, Ashcraft, he threw
six
pretty
innings,
well. Yeah.
Two earned runs.
Yeah, threw well. And that's what you kind of expect out of that guy. That comebacker hit him early. I'm like, oh, no.
The wrist, yeah.
Because that happened last year, and he was out for a while after that comeback or hit him in the shin or the knee.
I think even in that game, I think he stayed in, and we didn't find out until that game was over.
He did stay in. He stayed in and gave up a few more hits, and then they decided they better get him out of there.
I hope we don't get news like that tomorrow where it's like,
I hope not either. Because
his wrist was actually worse than we thought.
Yeah, that's just being snake bit when that kind of stuff happens. But and that's another guy. I'll tell you what, that's another guy when I think of Browning and Ashcraft's bulldog mentality out there. Mm-hmm. He's got that. So I'm excited about the pitching staff they put together. And if Montas is healthy and is the Montas I saw in Oakland, and it's a gamble. I mean, the dude threw what? An inning and some change last year. And that was right. It. He was injured all year. And you're giving him all that money? It's a gamble. But hopefully it pays off for the Reds. It did on opening day. And if he can keep pitching at that level, and he'll get knocked around some. They all do. But if he can keep pitching around that level more often than not, it's going to be a hell of a pickup for the Reds.
I will say four quality starts for your starting five, and Hunter Green misses it by just a couple of outs in an inning to get that.
Yeah, and you're right. Well. If he would have gotten some help behind him, and that day, I'm telling you what, I went out that day, and that wind was fierce. And then I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing this crap happen. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to make an excuse for him because it looked to me like a couple of those issues were guys who hadn't played a lot together and just didn't communicate well. You know, I don't think the Reds, until the last week of spring training, were thinking that Stuart Fairchild was going to be their starting center fielder. And, you know, he and Elliot, I don't know how much they've played and communicated, but it's not, you know, and I guess Stuart was probably playing shading the left field on that play and had to run a mile to get there, but I sure as hell wish he would have called him off and made that play. Because it's a lot easier for the guy coming in. I don't care if you have an all-world, you know, you can have Ozzie Smith or Barry Larkin at shortstop, whoever the best defensive shortstops you can think of. That you would rather have the guy running in make the play. It's a lot easier.
Are you surprised at all that David Bell has only run two lineups, I believe, at this point?
Shocked.
I think I've seen that it's only actually been two lineups so far. In
he must have studied Sparky Anderson in the offseason, but no.
You know what it really actually is? There's so many injuries right now that, like, they're stuck. They've got two options. They've got a righty, lineup and a lefty lineup. And
that's it. Yeah, he doesn't have flexibility like we thought he was going to have. He's not going to be tinkering with it the way he was able to last year. Now, when guys get healthy and, you know, God knows when McClain will be back. God, I hope that's sooner rather than later. But Friedel, they're hoping, is back by May 1st or thereabouts. And once he gets back, he's probably going to be fairly entrenched.
Yeah, I think Mark
played the way he did last year.
I think Marte should be back by what, the All-Star break?
Yeah, that's 80 games. 80 games. Oh, my God.
Man. Remember potentially the important part, though. It's not the 80 games.
It's the playoffs.
He's ineligible for the playoffs.
I heard a crazy story about that. And I mean, it's nuts, and it's kind of innocent in a way, but whatever happened, I have been told that the Reds totally believe this guy and they believe his story. But if it's a story I heard, it's just off the charts nuts. I mean, it's just, you know, but there's different cultures, different countries. You just never know what people are going to do for entertainment.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about, George, but I'm sure I'll hear off the air.
Yeah, I can tell. It's funny, but it's not. But it's, you know, you just never know. I mean, things can go, you know, in the blink of an eye, things can change in a hurry. Just like when I'm driving down 75 Saturday night, some dude two lanes over decides, hey, I'm just going to hit the wall and then go flying into the center lane where I was.
You have. I
missed it by that much. It was crazy. I have just stuff happened around. I mean, I am like.
I know.
It's like Mr. Magoo. you probably don't know him.
I do know Mr. Magoo.
But stuff just happens everywhere. He's just driving down the street, finding his own. Now, some of it he causes, but I did not cause this.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And that's, you know, if what I heard is true, you know, Marte kind of had a Mr. Magoo thing.
I did want to ask before we move topics, are there any other storylines that you're following or that you have stood out to you thus far in the very young season?
I have been so Red-centric and just locked in and watching them, and I'm just really, really, I hate for college basketball to be ending because I do love college basketball. And I'm that way with every season. I hate when college football ends, the NFL ends. But I'm always glad when baseball is back. Good weather's on the way. And I've just been really locked in on the Reds and hoping like hell they can live up to the lofty expectations that most of us seem to have.
I believe right now they're in third place.
And it will be big. Lodolo's got that April 10th date is when they want to start him. So that's next week, right? He's supposed to pitch again in the next couple of days, maybe on the 4th. This is all off the top of my head. But he looked good in his first outing for Louisville.
Excellent.
Very well. If he's back and healthy, thank God, man, I'm even more excited about this bunch.
A little odd to be looking up at the standings, though, as the Reds sit at 3-2, and you see both Pittsburgh and Milwaukee currently at 5-0 and 4-0, respectively, undefeated between those two teams. And Pittsburgh.
Did not see that happening.
Pittsburgh being the biggest surprise.
Yeah. And, you know, how many players can you name on that team?
They're outscoring people 39 to 21 so far.
I would think they'll be coming back to earth rather quickly. however, I did read some, you know, some of the preseason stuff was like, you know, the Pirates kind of did some nice things, and you know, they've got the third baseman, the outfielder. I'll screw up all their names. So they've got some, but yeah, they're not going anywhere. Come on, right?
Old Connor Joe out there.
Connor Joe. And I remember him homering against the Reds. Like he hurt the Reds badly in the game last year, if I remember right.
Probably. But yeah, that's about all I got on the Reds. Unless you got anything else.
No, that's plenty. Let me look down my sheet. Well, I was really excited about Suter till tonight. Boy, he took it on the chin. Bryce Harper will do that to you. I think we got it all. Yeah, we got it all.
All right. Yeah. Moving on to the Bearcats. It was announced. Vic kind of put it out there last night that he was going to be leaving the Cincinnati Bearcats. Of course, Victor Locken being the outside of, was he the last Brandon guy, I believe? Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think so.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, but turns out today it's being reported everywhere that he is going to be entering the transfer portal, not heading overseas to play professionally. So it would seem that people are trying to work around, I would imagine, and get him some NIL money in one way. Not directly through NIL, as he's not allowed to do that because of work visas, being from out of country. But I'm sure there's a workaround of some sort to get him some money.
You just have to step out of the country, and if you're out, like you can go to Toronto,
right?
Like it's very simple. Like, and there are plenty of ways around it. Let's just say it was between both sides, a business decision. Victor had a number that he wanted. He's out on the open market trying to get that number. That's essentially all it came down to. And look, man, you play 4 years, you get your degree, you have earned the right to test the open market and see what your value is. At the value that he is looking for, Cincinnati is not an option. We'll see how it turns out.
Chad, I'm not sure Cincinnati was an option anyway, and I'm not saying they wouldn't bring him back, but for him, just how things went down, sometimes you need a change. I sat behind the bench, the Bradley game, the NIT game, and he was engaged, but you could tell, I don't know, it just felt, looked like a guy who was probably done here. And I just feel like he probably knew in his bones and maybe he hadn't expressed it. But and I also feel bad that, you know, he posted that thing about getting booed or don't boo me if I do. I feel bad about that because no player in his position should have been booed. And I know a lot of people who booed says, I'm booing Wes for putting him in or whatever.
No, they were insulting. They cheered when he came out.
Yes, like, I didn't like it.
It was a slap in the face to the kid. Let's just be honest and call it what it is.
And if you're trying to build a place, and Wes is, where players want to play and want to stay, you don't do that. And I know you've got to kind of, I don't know. There's other ways to express your dissatisfaction with what's going on than booing a kid when he comes into a game and cheering when he comes out. And I was not a big fan of that, and I won't do that. I'll boo a ref. I'll boo the other team. I'll boo the other coach. But when you're, you know, this isn't This isn't the Reds or the Bengals where you can boo your own player sometime. And, you know, and I shouldn't say I don't even like that. Sometimes maybe. But this thing with him was ugly. I felt like it was ugly. I didn't feel good about it at all. There was nothing I felt good about that. And okay, you can boo Wes, and you can say I'm booing Wes for doing that, but the player doesn't know that. He doesn't.
Timing is everything, right? Say,
hey, who are you booing? Me? Oh, the head coach? Okay, fine. What about you? They don't get that chance. All they hear are the boos.
It's also bullshit. No one was booing Wes.
Well,
no, they're lying, George.
They it's bullshit.
I don't know. I cornered a couple people. I'll just say that. I cornered them.
You roughed them up?
I wanted to. I don't want. You can't be trying to build what they're trying to build here, and you get a reputation as someone that boos their own damn players at the collegiate.
It's all these negative people. It's all these negative people we always talk about. You surrounding yourself with George. This is why you don't
hang around. There's only one. There's one, and he is negative. he is negative.
You can't become the program you want to become if your fans are. You have a bad game. We are going to boo you. Like,
right. I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. Oh, more than uncomfortable. I was pissed when the Ben Bryant booing was going on. That was horrible. That's a kid who did anything and everything to play at UC. And
twice.
Yes, twice. Did what he was supposed to do, came back, and you're going to sit there and boo this guy who, you know, put a hell of a lot more skin in the game than anybody sitting there booing by far.
And guess what, George?
That's just and
the coaches were right. He was better than Evan Prater every step of the way. They knew.
Well, that is true.
That's why he got booed. He got booed because they wanted Evan Prater. And the people booing were wrong.
I wanted to see some Prater. However, I also know there is a staff of very knowledgeable football player that of football that see these players day in and day out. And if they thought we got a better chance to win going this way, they're going to go that way because you know what these guys are paid to do ultimately? Win.
Yep.
So if you got a better option sitting there Preach. And you're struggling, you're not going to put that better option in? Of course you're going to. Of course you are. And it just boggles my mind that these people, and look, I wanted Evan to work out more than anyone. I saw him play in high school, love the family, love the kid, love what he's doing now. You know, he's showing some real maturity in doing what he's doing. And you know, we'll get to Drogosh too. He's doing the same thing. You know, that takes a lot for a kid who's been a quarterback all that time and been the man and done this. And in high school, you come out, you got all these high expectations, and then you get to that level and it doesn't work, and you're willing to stick with the program and play another position. That says a lot. That says a lot. Well, but, yeah, I just – at the time that whole thing was going on, yeah, I thought – you know, Evan might be a damn good option, but I also knew these coaches saw him day in and day out doing what they're supposed to do, and they want to win these games. These coaches don't want to just sit there and lose because that's their guy. You don't do that. That's not how you continue to get contracts to be a coach.
Reeling George back into the Victor Lockin conversation, though, we'll wrap that one up here before we move on. But Vic was a Bearcat through and through. I don't think that can be argued. He was a mainstay through the transition from what became a very awkward end to the previous regime, and the only one who was still here from the end of that era. as he was here for Wes's entire beginning and evolution there. So happy trails to Vic from me.
He tried. He played his butt off. He gave what he had. I didn't like all the three-point shots. I said that. That's something I think could have been reined in from a higher level. But all that being said, the kid did the best he could. And I think hopefully he looks at the whole thing as a positive. I really hope that he doesn't go away with a negative feeling and feel like that, you know, I should have done something else or gone somewhere else. Or I hope it turns out to be a good experience for him. Based on his goodbye, it seems like it is. I hope he really feels that way.
Yeah, I can only imagine what he's gone through being away from home.
Exactly. And this is a young man. This is... I don't want to call him a kid because I don't know anyone that size. I can't call a kid, but he's young and he's still trying to find his way and dealing with all these balls in the air. I don't know how he does it. I couldn't have done it. I could not have done it when I was his age.
Let's not forget his home country has been at war for a little while here as well. So,
and that's had to have weighed on him because let's face it, it's not. We know what that war is viewed as, and he's probably heard a little bit about it.
A political mess. We'll call it that. We'll leave it there. But
grief about that.
We will just call that a political mess and move on.
Yeah.
You did allude to a position change on the football field, however, as we got the Ben Bryant tangent. I did not see coming at the beginning of this show when we were running through our topics.
I brought that up. I'm sorry. I did. Now I'm thinking back.
Did you put that on me?
It was me.
In any case, Brady Drogosh does move to linebacker from quarterback. And what were your thoughts when you heard that news breaking?
I was pretty surprised. However, as this thing went on, and, you know, I've talked to Chad and others, and you got the feeling that he wasn't moving up that depth chart. In fact, maybe moving down with the freshman in. And I saw him in camp last year and was pretty impressed with him. He had a good day when I was there. But – you know, if you can't make the right throws and it's just not quite working, I just got to give him all the credit in the world for being open to this. And not just him, his parents, you know how this works. If you're a four-star quarterback, and I can say the same about the Praters, you're a four-star quarterback coming out of high school and you've got all these great offers and all this, and you go to Cincinnati – it would be easy, and we've seen it happen before, and we've seen it happen at UC, that immediately, oh, my kid's not the starter. He's not second string. We're leaving. We're out of here. And the story would have been the same somewhere else. Ultimately, you know, you are either good enough or you're not to play that position. But he's got some, I mean, he's got size. He's got athleticism. He's impressive. I saw him, you know, run the ball at these preseason camps and all that, and he can fly around. I think this is beautiful. And you look at position changes in the past, and obviously there was one kid who came to UC as a quarterback that moved to tight end, and that worked out. Then there's another kid who came. That was Travis Kelce. Then you got another kid who came to UC as a tight end, moved the defensive end and became a, you know, 10, 11 year starter in the NFL. That was Connor Barwin. I mean, these things can, you know, if you've got the ability to play another position and you're washing out at this one, take advantage of it. Go for it. Be the best you can be at that position. And everything I hear about this kid he's going to try to make it work. And I just think, you know, you have certain people who are just freaking stud athletes. And once they find the groove and the position and all that at the level they're at, they can take off. And, you know, kudos to him, his parents, and the coaching staff for trying to make this thing work the way it is. And I think it's going to work. I really
do. You also have a coach in Tyson Veit who has done this before with a quarterback.
I think that guy, Iowa State. And when he sees someone he thinks can step in and play, I agree with you.
And so with linebacker kind of being, while it's not his position group, it, I would still imagine it's still his baby, if you will, being the way that he's coached in the past. So I wouldn't think that he'd put somebody there who he didn't think could actually handle the position change. So,
yeah, and Drogosh has the athletic ability. I think that I think he's one of those guys. So he's got size. Yeah, he's a quarterback, but he's got size. He's got speed. He can. He's got everything. You want him on the field somewhere, right? And
right.
You know, you trust these people who are experienced coaches to make the right call for him. And apparently he agrees with it. It seems like he's embraced it. And like I said, if there was a dissenter among the group being him and his parents, you know, he might be transferring to who knows where. But he's not. And he's sticking it out here. And that's another thing that speaks well of the program, and you got a lot of that with Wes. I don't think there's a lot of guys want to leave Wes's program. I really don't. I could be wrong. Maybe tomorrow the gates will fly open and everybody's gone. But it seems to me guys want to stick around and play for him. I'm starting to get the feeling about this in football, and it seems like the guys that left in the portal in football were guys that were pretty
– they were Fickle's guys. Well, there were. I think those were Fickle guys, and they sometimes the two don't mesh.
No, they don't. They don't. It's you know, it can be a different priority system with coaches. It can be a different, you know, obviously a different culture, and things don't fit. Different system for sure, and certain things don't fit. I mean, there are guys, and this happens in the NFL. There are guys, and they play a lot of the same in the NFL, but there are guys that are valuable on this team that aren't worth a nickel over here. And that used to drive me nuts about the Bengals because they would just draft these guys that don't necessarily fit what they do. The problem with the Bengals back then is they didn't know exactly what they do. They would change their mind every other year, and they could never get it going. Pittsburgh hasn't changed. They have not changed much of what they do. Maybe a little bit on defense with the
40 years,
you know, going from 4-3, 3-4, but and back to 4-3. That's about it. But their culture has not changed since Chuck Knoll became head coach in 70 or 71 or two. I don't know what it is, and that's why you've had three head coaches. I think it is, and that entire time for that franchise, it's nuts, but it works.
Absolutely crazy that it's been what 40 plus years for the Steelers that they haven't changed.
Right. 50.
Man.
50.
In any case, spring game right around the corner. Now that Easter is behind us, I believe it's what the 11th, if I'm not mistaken.
13th, right? 11th is the Kelsey deal.
11th. Yeah. 11th is the Kelsey thing. And the 13th is the spring.
Hopefully they do well. Hopefully they do well at the Kelsey thing. I think they will. I know those tickets are pricey, but still, given a lot of it goes to Cincy Reigns, I guess. I hope a lot of it does. I mean, I love Jason and Travis. I don't know how much more bread they need for this. But someone's got to make money somewhere. But hopefully NIL does well on this. And then what, 2 days later is the spring game, which is free. Parking, you pay for parking. I think it's $10 day of at Campus Green. but they're selling prepaid parking for $5 at Calhoun and somewhere else. I forget. I don't think it's CCM. I forget what the other garage is. But anyway, it's all on the website.
There you go. Any other topics that you wanted to touch on? I know FCC had a draw. I know that because I bet on them almost every game since they win more often than they tie.
This is an interesting start to the season for them. And I won't make this long.
But this one caught me.
Let me see what I got. So they're in first place now in the Eastern Conference, but it's early and it's tight. And they do have one more match than Philadelphia, who's like 3 points behind them. And probably some other people that are close. But listen to this. They are 3-0-3. Three wins, no losses, three ties. They have scored six freaking goals the entire season. And they have allowed just three. So both of those, I believe, are the lowest in the entire league. It is crazy. First of all, it's crazy how good that defense is. And, you know, Pat Noonan talked after the game about, you know, the draw, the 1-1 draw with Charlotte, about the offense. And he feels like his guys are pressing now, which they probably are because they haven't, you know, like I said, they scored six goals all season in six matches. And somehow they're in first place. It's crazy that they're doing as well as they are in the standings with that kind of offensive output. But he feels like it's coming. He just feels like they're pressing. And if they ever get an offense together, and maybe they won't this year. You know, they've had to make some changes with some different players and everything. But and then they stole that draw. That was basically a win. They were beat, and they scored stoppage time to earn that draw. But I got to think they're happy with the beginning of this, given that they're not scoring any goals and you're still dominating defensively the way they are. And that didn't carry them last year. They ran into that Columbus team in the playoffs that scored goal after goal after goal, and Columbus beat them, and that was a shame. But they got a chance. It could be another magical year for them. So I'm pleased with the start, and they play this week. They host the New York Red Bulls on Saturday night.
There you go. Anything else high school?
No, I just – my buddy Tom Gamble's got his Skyline Crosstown Showdown games going with baseball. So there's good baseball games pretty much every evening, but this weather is not helping.
Fair enough. In the comments here, real quick, the UC baseball game against Xavier and Mason was rained out. Everything in Cincinnati, I think, was rained out today.
They're supposedly playing that, I guess, at Prasco Park, like April 8th or something. I wonder if Randy knows. Oh, I didn't have the
comments on.
Oh, Jeffrey, about the crash. I didn't have the comments up. I shouldn't have had them up last week when everyone was going, who's that old dumbass man? Did he even watch the game? That was hilarious. People were coming at me. And somebody deleted it. It's like, no, I want to talk to this guy who said, did that old man even watch the game? And I can't complain. I am an old man, but I did watch the game.
Well, I did want to tell you, George, before we get out of here, I was in town for Easter, and I was able to get my hands on some Cincy Light, so I've been able to.
Cheers!
I got a couple cases and brought them home. So,
and I just started seeing the cases. Did you get the full case in the?
I did.
Seeing those in the past couple weeks.
I grabbed two of them on my way out of town. So
good for you. Do you like it?
I love Cincy Light. It's fantastic. Yep. It's not the first time I've had it. It's rare for me to actually bring it back.
Yes. It's like in the old days when people used to have to get Coors west of the Rockies or whatever.
Well, I had to search high and low for it for a while anytime I was in town, and that was a pain in the ass too, having to go to
They don't have it out there in Eastern Ohio.
Not yet.
But you can't drive down to Portsmouth and get it or something?
I'm working on my local drive-through. We'll see how that goes.
I should have had these comments on the whole time. God, I all forgot. Right. On, I just had it on private chat. Last week was exciting when I was all fired up and people were calling me a dumb old man. And God, I have to say, it's not hard for me to say something stupid. I'll have to do it at the beginning next week just to get it going.
All right. Well, with that said, we will see you next week where George may or may not say something stupid immediately. But that's another episode brought to you by Remington Tavern. You can find them at 8892 Glendale Milford Road, 45140, where they have daily happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m., $5 Woodford Wednesdays. You can find them on Instagram at RemyTavCincy, and you can also follow them on Facebook. But until next week, for George Vogel, I'm Aaron Smith. We'll see you then.